It's episode 56 of the Startup Podcast, conversation with cool entrepreneurs. My name is Dan Vonderhyde. Thank you for listening, for coming back. I hope that you are a regular. I do ask if it's all possible for you to listen on the Stitcher Smart Radio app on your iPhone or your Android device. The only reason being that it gives me decent statistics. Now I have other ways to find you and find who's listening, and I've continued to receive really good support from the startup community and interested parties around Louisville, so I certainly appreciate it. It's been a big week for me. I, of course, funded my Kickstarter campaign ending May 10th, and I've gone about putting this business together. I've leased a space in a great place at the corner of Dundee and Douglas in Louisville's Highlands at the Metro Business Center. It's a great co-working space, and I had access to a beautiful conference room and, of course, any business office services I need, a printer and telephone stuff and, of course, a mailbox and all of those things. And if you're out there looking for a co-working space or something that's reasonably priced, inexpensive even, with a great collaborative environment, I recommend the Metro Business Center. So I leased that space and I got some equipment coming in. I just had some delivered today, a compressor, some to increase the sound quality of what we're cranking out here, and some microphones and that sort of stuff. So it's a big time for me, and I appreciate the support that I've gotten from everybody and the encouragement. Thank you to Insider Louisville and Melissa Chipman for running a little feature on me last week. That was kind of a thrill when I sat down with Melissa at Please and Thank You. I was wired, man, on coffee. I had to drink water while I was talking to her because I had too much coffee already that day. So I was a little diarrhea of the mouth, so to speak. So it's been a really interesting time for me, and I'm looking forward to all these new things that I have cooking that I can do with this space that I've created. So thank you again. This week's guest on the podcast is a guy who came from Louisville a long time ago, moved out to California and has done some entrepreneurial things. And then he got the acting bug and he's come back to town and has created this Louisville International Film Festival. His name is Conrad Bachman. Look him up on IMDb. He has had a pretty long career and it's definitely been in some movies that you've seen. You may have heard of the film festival. It's a really sort of a signature event for the city, in my opinion. And I ran across Conrad several years ago when I got an email out of the blue at Louisville.com, and he says, "Hey, I'm coming to town. I need to talk to some people. Is there somebody here that can help me?" I said, "Why, sure." And so that's when our paths crossed, and he has gone on to put on this very polished event. Jennifer Lawrence was in town for the first festival. I think it's in the interview. I think this is their fifth year, so she was in the inaugural year. And Conrad is a great storyteller. I had the chance to sit down with him in his Galt House suite and talk about the festival and its beginnings and sort of the process of what it takes to start an event of this caliber. It started with an idea, and then he had to go about putting this whole thing together. And it's, is it a startup business? Sure. It's a nonprofit, and it takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of moving parts, and he had to navigate these waters to figure out how to pull this thing off, and now they're rolling with great momentum. And Conrad's a great guy, and we're lucky to have him from our community and have his support to help put Louisville on the map. So here we go, the Startup Podcast with Conrad Bachman. Okay, now we're recording.
So now we're recording, and everything else you deleted.
Yes. All of the, you know, the showgirls that were tramping in and out here.
Okay, that's cool.
All that stuff.
Yeah. So what do you want to talk about, Dan?
I want to talk about the festival, how long it's been around. I guess that's the first thing. Let's sort of work backwards. This is, the fifth year for the...
No, we're actually approaching our fifth year.
Yeah.
And we did start 6 years ago, but we didn't launch until 5 years ago. And so now we're in our fifth year, and it's growing every year. I mean, last year we had over 30 countries. This year we have... almost 20 countries, and we just announced the launch date again. We now have close to 80 films, and we just, like, as I said, we just announced the launch date. So we're looking at probably a huge influx of films this year. And I looked at the, I checked it again this morning. We had four films from Spain. And I looked at it this morning again, and we got another one from Spain. For some reason.
So where are they finding out about this
stuff? I don't know.
Oh, well, that's how it works, I guess. In the age of the internet.
Well, the whole point of it is being an international festival and to attract foreign countries and make Louisville a destination city. Mm-hmm. To be known more so than, just horse racing. And
bourbon.
Yeah, and bourbon, but...
cigarettes.
Yeah, we want to be, we want to be Cannes on the Ohio. And I think that's what's happening. So I'm pretty excited about it. And we've got a great list of films this year. Plus the fact, we started the... Every year we add something. 3 years ago we added the Kentucky Youth Film Festival, which is really successful now.
Nice.
And then we launched the Kentucky Legends of Fame, which are famous actors, famous people in the business from Kentucky. We launched that. This year we're launching the Stanley Kramer Legacy Award. Stanley, you remember Stanley Kramer?
I'm afraid I don't.
Stanley Kramer made Guess Who's Coming to Dinner,
oh, okay.
High Noon, Nuremberg Trials, 12 Angry Men, On the Beach. I mean...
It sounds like somebody I should probably pay attention to.
The Defiant Ones. I mean, he was a prolific filmmaker. And Karen Kramer...
The film started with me when Airplane came out.
Oh,
that
okay.
was like the...
Well, Karen is a good friend of mine, and I approached Karen about it. And so she's given us permission to use his name as an annualized award. And we're also doing a special screening for... a fundraiser for Valley High School. We're going to be running this film. Do you know about the Conrad Bachman Auditorium?
No.
Oh.
I'm so out of the loop on everything with you, man. It's been several years.
Yeah, obviously. So you're not reading your own material either. So, but anyway, last year they did a dedication. They dedicated as a 700-seat state-of-the-art auditorium at Valley High School.
Oh, okay.
And it's called the Conrad Bachman Auditorium.
Nice.
And so we're doing the screening of It's a Mad, Mad, Mad World out there at the mm-hmm. auditorium this year. You know that film?
Yeah, sure, yeah.
Stanley made mm-hmm. that film, too.
Okay.
So Karen has given us permission. Karen and Kat are coming in. Kat's going to do a medley of songs from her dad's films. And then we're presenting our first annual Stanley Kramer Legacy Award, and you're the first one to know about this.
I got the scoop, man.
You
I got
did.
The scoop.
You did. You're the first one to hear about
it. That?
Because we just decided this morning to let it go, and that's to Gil Holland.
Oh, nice. You're going to announce that here?
I just did.
All right. I'll have to put this up sooner rather than later in that case.
It's October.
Okay. You've been, okay, so 6 years ago you formed, I guess, as an organization, right? How many years ago did you have this seed of an idea where you're like, I came from Louisville, I haven't been there in a long time, but it's part of who you are and it's your roots. When did this seed of an idea, like, I think we should do a film festival?
Well, it really started actually years ago. I was doing a series with Mike Connors called The FBI Story, and Foster Brooks would come on as a mm-hmm. guest star occasionally.
Sure.
And he would always say to me, Conrad, because he knew I was from Louisville, he said, Conrad, you got to come back to Louisville and be in my golf tournament, because he had a Foster Brooks golf tournament.
That's right.
And I said, Foster, I don't play golf. One day...
You'd be the beer cart guy.
Yeah, I could have. mixed drinks. A friend of mine called me up, and he said, because I was an avid tennis player, and a friend of mine who was a pro golfer called me up one day, and he says, listen, he said, I'm getting ready to play in a golf tournament, and they're looking for some tennis players. He said, I know you play tennis. Are you interested? And I said, well, what is it? He said, it's a charity benefit back in Louisville, Kentucky, some guy named Foster Brooks. I said, are you kidding me?
How about that?
He said, no. I said, well, when is it? He said, it's this weekend. I said, I'm in. That's my hometown. So he gave me the guy's name to call. I called him up, and I said, I just got this phone call. He said, well, we'd love to have you. Bang, they flew me and my wife back here. I started playing tennis in Foster Brooks' charity.
Okay.
And that did that for about 4 years, and Foster became ill. He couldn't really maintain it. And so myself and my partner who's back here got a hold of Ned Beatty. Brought Ned Beatty in to take it over, and okay. we started taking it over. That ran for a while. I had done a film called Heart of a Beholder, and I'd been traveling with a producer doing Q&A at film festivals. And so we've been all over the place. I don't know, 40 or 50 film festivals. Patty McCormick plays my wife. Patty McCormick won an Oscar at the age of 9 for The Bad Seed. And so anyway, he calls me up and he says, have you ever been to Kentucky? And I said,
no, never.
Why? He said, well, we've been invited, our film's been invited to a little film festival back there called the Bluegrass Film Festival. And he said, we've never been to Kentucky. We'd always wanted to see it. We thought this was a good excuse to go. You want to go?
Was that in Lexington or was that here?
That was in Goshen.
Goshen, okay.
Kentucky.
All right.
So wow. I said,
oh, that's right. All right.
I said, I'm in. So back we came. I went up there and I talked to the people. I said, you know, why aren't you in Louisville with this festival? And they said, this is the home of D.W. Griffith. And I didn't even know that. D.W. Griffith, you know, was one of the greatest directors that ever lived. But anyway,
what is
not,
it with Kentucky and
all? And he's a Kentuckian. Again, a lot of Kentuckians.
Yeah.
So anyway, I turned to my partner. I said, let's start a film festival. Bang. Here we are.
What year was that?
That was 7 years ago. So this is 2013, 2005.
But you're still active. You still do acting.
Oh,
correct?
No, my career's never stopped. I mean, matter of fact, you know, I hit 80 in November, and my career's taken off like a Roman candle again.
Oh, good.
I just finished two big films. I've got three more to do, and I'm producing two films right now. I termed out as governor of the Academy, which I'd been for 14 years, but I'm still producing the governor's ball for the Emmys. And so I'm still very active.
Okay.
But matter of fact, this last film, and normally any film that I've done, I've tried to keep out of the festival just because I didn't want to be promoting myself.
Sure.
But I just finished a film called The Wedding Pact, and it is going to be our opening night film.
Oh.
Because it's such a great film. It's a young romantic comedy about a young couple who are in college. And they're graduating, and they look at each other, and she says, look, if we're not married in 10 years, let's get married.
We all had that pact with somebody.
Yeah, exactly. So
I don't remember who mine is with, but that's not necessary.
She's probably got five kids now.
I've been happily married for 11 years now.
Oh, it's good you got that in there, because your wife listens to this program?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
She might be the only one.
You told me that off camera that you had to mention that. But anyway, so they make the wedding pact, and that's the name of the film. And he finds out that she didn't get married, so he goes off to look for it. So when I got cast in the film, I got pretty friendly with the director. As a matter of fact, the director had a film was our opening night film in our festival the year before. Hollywood Wine and Roses, Hollywood Wine and something, I forgot what it was called now. But Hollywood and Wine, that was it.
That makes sense to me.
Hollywood and Vine.
A play on the Hollywood and Vine. Yeah,
yeah.
Sure.
So I said to Matt, I said, listen, he offered to create a writing award, and I said to Matt, I said, how about if we create something for the students, which I have, you know, with Fern Creek, Ballard, and Pleasure Ridge Park. Mm-hmm. So he put in the budget. We ran a contest for three students to have the opportunity to enter a video and a essay as to why they want to be in the entertainment business. Three students won. They were flown out to California for 5 days, all expenses paid. Each one followed their field of interest, writing, directing, and editing. And they were also featured extras in the film with me.
Okay.
And then they shot a documentary, and we put that in the festival last year.
Oh, nice.
And it was really neat. So anyway, we're now going to have that film as the opening night film here for this next year.
But you're clearly a creative person. I mean, you've gone off and you've had a very long career in Hollywood. But you're obviously you're not running this festival by yourself, but you have to have some...
Oh, God, no. So I mean,
you have to have some play in it, though. You're a businessman.
Yeah, well, my son, who is an attorney, entertainment attorney, Brett Bachman, yeah. Mm-hmm. And also my partner here, who is an investment attorney, Brian Cullinan. Those are my two partners, and without them, we couldn't do it. And then I've got a lot of, you know, volunteers and people that are very dedicated to the festival that help out.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a long list, too long to even start naming people. But I do have a lot of help to volunteer.
What sort of...
You're the very first guy I ever talked to.
Yeah, I remember that.
Very first person
feather in my cap
about this festival.
Yeah, that was
what
crazy.
What was that? Nightlife in Louisville or...
Louisville.com was the... Yeah.
Yeah.
When I was working at Louisville.com.
Yeah.
Right. Well, that... okay, you clearly started at the bottom with your local contacts. You started with me. But then you had to, like... how did you figure out who to meet with? And you had an idea for a business, but you didn't... I assume you didn't quite know how to go about putting this together.
Well, so I knew how to put it together. I mean, we knew, you know, we had to register without a box and ask for submissions of films. I had been doing film festivals with the film, as I told you that I had been in. So I'd been probably done 40 or 50 film festivals.
Oh, so you've been around it to see how they were structured.
I had been doing the Jamaican Film Festival for 6 years in Jamaica. I had been doing for almost 8 years the Palms Beach International Film Festival as a guest speaker.
Right.
So, I mean, I was aware of how a festival operates.
How it's supposed to work.
So okay. I had that that acumen behind me that I could operate on. And so we just started the festival. Now, as far as getting to people, I knocked on all kinds of doors till my knuckles were raw.
So it was just plain old, good old persistence that...
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. You figured, I got to talk to somebody at the city?
I talked
clearly
to GLI. I talked to Commission of Tourism. I talked to Governor Beshear. I talked to Jerry Abramson, the mayor at that time. We went the whole route, you know, to get support for the festival.
But the whole gist of what I try to do on the podcast is that my theory is that everybody has an idea for something, whether it's, you know, to invent a widget or some little tool, or it's to plan a large-scale event like this. And my assumption is that they don't know quite where to start. So I'm always interested to find out if when somebody has a seed of an idea, where do they turn and who do they go talk to get forward momentum? So,
well, I think that anyone who's going to start something pretty much knows where they're going to start. They pretty much have an understanding of it. I mean, I wouldn't begin to think about, let's see, I think I'd like to build a Boeing 727. I don't think I would do that. But if I were to think about that, then
somebody's out there thinking about a plane that's more efficient.
Yeah,
maybe.
I mean, you know, to start a film festival and having the experience of being an actor and being in film festivals with a film and traveling with that, then I had a pretty good idea about what goes on in a festival. And all these other festivals, like the Jamaican Film Festival, Palm Beach International Film Festival, trying to think of some of the other festivals. You know, I was a guest speaker because I do seminars on how to develop and pitch product. So, and I had been doing that also with the Academy as governor of the Academy for 15 years on how to sell a television show or sell
right.
a movie.
So this, I mean, that's a whole other business unto itself, is the business of creativity,
yeah.
I guess. But this is a nonprofit venture, correct?
We're a 501c3, yeah,
okay.
Nonprofit.
But you still need to generate revenue, and you had to have a plan for...
Yeah.
Getting money in and then figuring yeah. out how to redisperse that money and where that's going to go.
Well, we benefit the Jefferson County School System, and we have partnered with them, with Louisville Film Arts Institute, which is our 501c3.
Uh-huh.
The festival really supports that, and then the charity supports the school system.
Okay.
And I have three programs that this Jefferson County School System has given me. I have Ballard, Fern Creek, and Pleasure Ridge Park, of which we're trying to build visual art programs in those schools. That's also part of the the Kentucky Youth Film Festival. Nichelle Anthony, who heads that up and runs it, has done an incredible job with it. We're in our third year with that, and that's growing too. So we really have a tandem festival with youth along with the Louisville's International Festival of Film. We screen those kids. We pick them up in a limo. They do the red carpet.
Wow.
We got paparazzi out there.
It's a big night for them.
It's a huge night for them, and they're very excited about it. And that's even going to grow bigger and bigger and bigger until we're going to probably stage a full-blown production around that concept.
I'm going to sort of hit the reverse gear and go way back before even you were a entrepreneur, before you were an actor, correct? You had an invention. Didn't you?
No.
You didn't invent the broom thing? The thing.
It wasn't an invention. It was just a product. It was called a hang-all. Yeah.
But that was your idea.
Well, no. I knew a manufacturer who had a warehouse full of those.
Oh, I see.
That someone had come to him to build them and then went bankrupt, and he was stuck with all this.
So this is one of the most interesting parts about you, in my opinion.
This was a guy, a manufacturer that I knew, who someone had come to him with this idea of a hang-all. And then he ran out of money and went bankrupt, and my friend was sitting there with a warehouse full of these extruded plastic hang-alls. And I had an idea about him. I saw him, and I said, I know what to do with that. Let me take it over. And so I did. I went to Chicago to the McCormick Houseware Show, got a booth, set up every kind of a broom handle or a mop or whatever you could do to put into this hang-all, and sold the hell out of them.
You just went and hustled, Brent.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the first customer came by from Japan, bought 2 million pieces.
Oh, wow.
And I had, I think I was making them for, at that time, it was an extruded plastic piece. I think it was 19 cents, and we sold them for $1.39.
What year was that?
Wholesale.
That was in the 60s?
73.
Oh, okay.
1973.
$1.39 in 1973 money.
So I called Rick up, and I said, Rick, I said, I just sold 2 million of these. How many do you have in the warehouse? He said, I got about 300,000. I said, you better start pumping.
Yeah.
And we did. We filled the order, and that launched the company, and I started a company called IDEX, and I started creating product and putting product on the market, and it was very successful. But acting, you know, reached out and grabbed me by the back of the neck.
That was your thing. That was your...
And an opportunity came up to do a film with Alan Alda called Kill Me If You Can, where I played the warden of San Quentin, and co-starred with Alan Alda in a film. And
That
was it. Came back.
So what happened to the company?
I let the company go with my partners, who were getting very greedy. And I said, if you want it, you can have it. And I walked out.
How about that? Not a dime exchange? Just
not a dime.
Take my name off the paper and that's that?
Take my name off and you guys can fight over it.
Uh-huh.
They went bankrupt in 9 months.
Is that the toughest thing about having a company? Is it dealing with the partners, the partnership?
It is, and that's why from that point on I've never had a partner. You know, I've always done it myself.
Other than your son and the film festival.
Well, yeah, exactly. But
that's a little different.
My son.
Yeah.
I'm not going to have any problems with him.
Well, you just bend him over your knee and, you know, give him a good swatting if he misbehaves.
Right, I wish. Yeah. He's an entertainment attorney. He'd sue me.
Yeah, I'm sure. He's
But
a reason.
You know what? By the way, speaking of Brett, he's living in Louisville now. He just moved to Louisville.
It's nice to have, and I sent him a message that said it's nice to have somebody move to town who has brains and talent.
Oh, did you?
Instead of, you know, the past couple of weeks, we've lost a couple of entrepreneurial people that have just decided to move. They had an opportunity somewhere else, and, you know, it's sort of a drain on the community.
Oh, really?
And so to have somebody move in who has talent and brains.
Well,
and
you know
motivation,
what he's doing?
I have no idea.
He's the new CEO of Hauser Hearing Clinic.
Oh, neat.
Yeah.
We'll have to talk to him about that.
Yeah. No, he's a matter of fact, got his card around here somewhere. It's up there. Yeah, the Hauser Hearing Clinic. That's not it.
So he's probably very busy.
He is. You know, he started Monday, and he loves it.
But he's still involved in the festival.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the toughest thing, too, is you work with partners.
If it comes down to something that we're doing, then Hauser Hearing Clinic and the festival, Hauser Hearing Clinic wins.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah.
But I would think the balance would be, I don't know how you do it, with all your creative projects, and then you're working from a distance, really. I mean, you're in California most of the time.
All the time, yeah. I'm here about 3 times a year. I'll be here a little bit less now, you know, that I've got real feet on the ground.
Yeah. well, when you came into this thing, did you plan to grow it? I know, obviously, you want to grow the audience every single year, but to keep adding elements to it, is that part of the original roadmap? Like, in year 5, we want to add this thing, and then...
Yeah, I have other things that we'll be adding in, even down the road, that I have in mind, but we're not ready for it, only because I wanted to really have every step of the way to be a solid step, and then we build the next one, and then we build the next one.
How do you know it's going to be a solid step?
Oh, because of the way we're putting it together. I mean,
like if you have an idea, and this is something that I've had to explore recently too, is, you know, like I said, I think everybody has an idea, but not all of them are going to work. There's a certain method on figuring out what's going to be viable and what's not. So I'm curious, like, if you have an idea of what might attract attention, how do you know that that's going to attract attention? That's just, it's kind of a weird question, but.
Well, I think everybody likes movies.
That's true.
And there are film festivals, thousands of them all over the world. And I think then there are other film festivals here in Louisville, which, and there's room for everybody. And I think the more we have and the better it is, the better it is for the city of Louisville.
Yeah.
I mean, that's my main goal, is the city of Louisville, as I said, to make this a destination city in the world.
It's a lot different than what it used to be even, right? Like even when with the Foster Brooks stuff, like in the past 5 years, this town has gotten a lot different. So,
well, this is a great town. I mean, it's a small town. Everybody knows everybody. Everybody knows your name.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, it's been really successful for us. It's been a struggle. I mean, I'll admit that. Every year, it's a lot of work. I see every film. I have a committee of people out in L.A. that casting directors.
Do you sit through every one of the films?
Everyone.
You watch it from start to finish. You don't have, even if it's a dog, you're just like, oh my gosh, I got to sit here and watch this whole thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I give every film its due respect. And trust me, I have looked at some dogs.
Yeah.
Okay. But
you're a respectful artist.
Well, it's really made it, yeah, because look, no matter whether it's how good it is or how bad it is, whoever made that film, at the time they made that film, really felt in their own heart
sure
they were doing the very best they could. I'm sorry, there are levels of best.
Yeah, okay? Yeah.
Even in
sense.
Hollywood, there are bad films that are made. In the old days, they would take an A film and they would attach a B film to it. Before the distributor could get the A film, they had to take the B film.
Uh-huh.
So that's when you had your double features. But we can't afford to put B films in, so we try to get A and A-plus films in. But I do. I look at every film, and I look at them all the way through. Now, I mean, you can pretty much tell about 20 minutes into a film where it's headed. And then you can, you know, you give it its due, and you look at it, and you give it its credit. It's tough.
Well, art is so subjective that the person that's making it wouldn't want to share it if he didn't think it was good. Or maybe it comes down to finances. Like,
well,
I put $250,000 into this. Somebody has to see it. I have to take this to market. I have to do something with it.
Yeah, and it's a shame because I can tell you right now, I looked at one this year that is just, I don't know how, I don't know why I made it. But
that's,
I looked at it. I looked at it, and I fought and struggled, and I went through it, and I just went.
Had a couple of shots along the way, like, oh, I got to do something to help me bear with this.
Okay, you know, but I gave it my rating, and everybody else is looking at it right now. Matter of fact, I just checked my email this morning, and I got back a couple of remarks about the film that they had watched it. So we're still trying to make a decision.
All right. Well, it's
how are we doing?
Yeah, we're doing great. I guess we have the new award for this year coming up, but what can we expect? Like, if somebody wanted to get involved with the festival, either on a volunteer basis or maybe they just want to come, like how do they find out about that?
Louisville Film Arts Institute. They can go to our website, louisvillefilmfestival.org.
Okay.
And they can say they want to volunteer.
It's gone through. I know that there have been a couple different domains that have been involved there. So,
well, and we've just we're reconstructing that right now this year. We're redoing the whole website again, and we've created a new logo, and that'll be launched here within the next couple of days.
Okay.
Yeah, because this year we're eligible for Oscars. After this year, we're Oscar eligible for films.
That's an industry thing?
Well, it means that we can now get films that are Oscar eligible.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, you have to be 5 years old before
okay.
you can do that.
Yeah, so they know that you're sustainable.
So after this year, like next year, we can start getting films in. People say, are you Oscar eligible? Yes, we are. And they'll submit. We'll get even higher grade films.
Do you consider yourself sustainable at this point? Like the festival is like, okay, now we're at year five and we got a formula down.
Oh,
and we
yeah.
can, okay.
Oh, yeah.
How scary was that after the going into the first year? You didn't clearly know what to expect, but after that was over.
Don't you remember who our opening night film was?
Jay Law, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Jennifer Lawrence and Burning Plain. Mm-hmm. And we had Guillermo here. We had everybody here. That was a pretty big launch through a major party there at Kentucky Center for the Arts.
That's right.
And also, we keep all of our screenings downtown local. So, and this year, we're expanding again. This year, now we're opening up screenings at Louisville Free Public Library.
Okay. After the first year was came and gone, you maybe you took a day off, and then the next day after that, you thought, okay, we pulled this off. I feel a little more secure. But how many years into it did you think this thing is going to go, or was it right after the first year you were like, this is it, we've done it, and this is going to be sustainable?
I knew it was going to go before we started it.
Well, okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's a great film festival, and it's a great opportunity for Louisville. And we've had some incredible films in here, and it's been a slow process, but it's been successful from day one. I mean, we filled the theaters on every screening since day one. I mean, when I say filled the theaters, I mean that we've had a lot of audience participate in the festival. Some theaters sit empty, and some theaters we don't have enough seats. Depends on what they like. You look at the program, you decide what you want to go see. We have various categories. We opened up another category this year of music videos. That's another thing we started this year.
I found myself several years ago, and I think I was still in high school. And I got out of high school 23 years ago, and I was sitting there watching a music video thinking to myself, what am I watching? I am watching people fake sing and walking through like a marketplace in Marrakesh or something. Like, it didn't make any sense whatsoever. And I stopped watching music videos at that point, but I guess people still do it. It is an art form.
It is.
Yeah.
And we've got a lot of submissions to it this year. It's brand new. We'll see how it goes. But it's another category we've opened up in it. And again, as I said, I want to make Louisville a destination city. And we keep it locally, and I think that's been good. Because people, the other thing too, the Galt House has been incredible. Mm-hmm. They're one of our major supporters. And we do have 5 screens. Now we have 6 this year in the Galt House.
Okay.
And the reason for that is I had done a film festival, Lake Tahoe, Reno Film Festival. And when I got there with the film that I was in, I was asking where the theater was and transportation. They said, well, everything is in the hotel. Every screening room was in that hotel. I never left that hotel for 4 days. And it was awesome because I could go to my room. I could do whatever.
Must not be much in Tahoe to see.
No, there's tons of Tahoe to see. But the film festival was in the hotel. Tahoe's beautiful.
I wish I could say I'd been there.
Oh, yeah. Tahoe's beautiful. And then right behind it, looking out my bedroom window, was the entire Squaw Village, which where the Olympics were held.
Oh, right.
So, it was a gorgeous setting, and it was fantastic. So I hit on that idea, I think, 3 years ago, that one of the areas we wanted, we couldn't get. And I said, well, then let's just open up the Galt House. I talked to Mary Mosley here at the Galt House, mm-hmm. and she said, okay. And so now we have 6 screening rooms here at the Galt House, and people love it. They can go to their room, they can go to a movie, they can come back to their room in between, whatever they want to do. They don't have to run around town all over
right.
the place.
Right.
We've got Kentucky Center for the Arts. We have Louisville Slugger, Galt House. We have now the Louisville Free Public Library.
Was the Ollie Center at one point?
And the Ollie Center. Yeah. So we're pretty much looking. And now you've got that new crosswalk from the hotel over where the Kentucky Center for the Arts is.
Right.
That pedway mm-hmm. from across the, whatever that street is there, over to the Ollie Center. I walked over there yesterday. You know how easy it is to get there now? So that's going to be fantastic for us to run films this
year.
That's
great. Well, it's a feather in Louisville's cap, I think. So, and it's an interesting business because it was an idea that a creative guy had and came to town and circled his wagons and got everybody together, and I think it's a captivating story. So
yeah.
I didn't want to let that one go.
Oh, good.
So thank you for taking the time to sit down.
Oh, thank you, Dan, for coming back around. As I said, you're the first guy I ever talked to on this thing.
Well, I'm happy to help.
And that was 6 years ago. And you're still here.
I was a young man.